Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Having the right guide is important. This becomes especially important when entering uncharted territory. In 1999, I found myself being questioned by a police officer in a small remote village in Nepal. I didn't speak any Nepali and he didn't speak much English. He went through my passport and my papers, and although I was quite sure that everything was in order, at least I hoped so at this stage, he seemed to be looking for something else. Just when my future seemed extremely uncertain, my guide, a Sherpa, stepped in. He started speaking to the police officer. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I couldn't even tell which way the conversation was going. But after a few minutes, which seemed like hours to me, I was on my way. Only the Lord knows how that day might have ended if I didn't have a guide with me. But thankfully, I had a guide I could trust. Having a guide you can trust is a good idea as we are led through life. What are some of the qualities you would want your guide to have? No doubt you would want your guide to be honest and dependable and able to protect you. Well, this morning we are going to see that Jesus, our good shepherd, has all these qualifications and far more. He's the guide you need. King David in the Old Testament of the Bible understood what it was like to give and receive guidance. Before he became king, he was a shepherd. Growing up as a shepherd, he looked after his father's flocks and knew all too how easily his sheep got themselves into trouble. Ditches, bears, lions, robbers were all more than too eager to snatch a sheep away. And these sheep had no way of defending themselves. This required that David continue to watch and guard his flock. This required that he continue to guide the flock. When we look at the number of hours and the continual care that sheep need, it's fair to say that being a shepherd is far more a lifestyle than a job. And yet, after guiding the sheep, David then learned what it was like to need guidance. Before becoming king, he spent many years on the run as a fugitive. He relied on the guidance of those around him to provide for and protect him. And then after becoming king, his guidance would affect the lives of countless people in his kingdom. It's fair to say that whether you see David as a shepherd, a fugitive, or a king, he recognized the importance for a guide to be good at their job. And it's with that in mind that we rejoice that the words spoken by the Holy Spirit through King David, who is extremely qualified to give us these words in Psalm 23 this morning. We begin reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God reveals who he is by the names he gives himself. For instance, when God reveals himself as the Lord Almighty, the Lord of army hosts, he's telling us and emphasizing that he's powerful, especially when considering his enemies. What does God reveal about himself when he reveals to us that he is our shepherd? In the gospel lesson we read a few moments ago in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd who is there to guide his sheep. Just as a shepherd is there to guide and guard his sheep continuously, so Jesus identifies himself as the one who is there to guide and guard his sheep as he leads them to heaven. But what does this look like? Well, the next verse tells us, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. In these personal words we hear from our Savior, we learn that our Savior is there to provide for His people's physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. Just as green pastures provide a place to rest and a place to eat, so God provides for His people's physical needs and He restores their souls. But are we even able to think about the many ways God provides for our physical needs? Could we count them up? Let me use an example. At just the right time, God sends rain on the earth or snow. The rain waters the earth, or when the snow melts, it waters the earth. And at God's direction, that little tiny seed in the earth begins to grow. As that seed grows, it is then harvested and taken to a supermarket where a hungry shopper like one of us buys it and takes it home and chops it up and eats it. God even provides for our physical needs by providing our bodies with enzymes that break down the food so that we can convert it into energy to sustain life. And as we zoom in to the number of different reactions, the number of different ways God provides for us, we see the number of ways that God provides for us quickly multiplies. We quickly realize that we're unable to count the number of ways that God provides for just our bodies. And just as God provides for our bodies, so He provides for our souls. He takes a soul that is weary and burdened, and He refreshes it. He does something that only He, as our good shepherd, can do. He fills us up with the promises in His Word as we listen to His voice. Have you ever stood back and wondered, why does God do all of this? Why is He our good shepherd? Well, He answers it in the next verse. He says, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God provides for and protects His people because this is just who He is and what He does. Just as a shepherd makes a commitment to his sheep to love them unconditionally, so God, our good shepherd, has chosen to love each one of the little sheep in His flock unconditionally. He knows that no one deserves His love and His guidance. And yet, as you think about the guidance your God gives you and the promises He fills you up with in His Word, have you ever thought to yourself, but my God doesn't always guide me. He doesn't always restore my soul. How often don't the things we see with our eyes and the desires of our sinful nature, how often don't they try to pull us away from our Savior's voice in His Word? How often don't those competing voices try to distract us and lead us away from our God? It's true that all of us were at one time like sheep who had gone astray, who had each turned to his own way. And yet, as we think about who we are before our God now, if you've ever found yourself walking through a parched desert instead of a green pasture, it may not just be a matter of life circumstances. You very well may be following a voice that is not your good shepherd's. But thankfully, brothers and sisters in Christ, your good shepherd has gone to extreme lengths to make you part of His family, His flock. He did this by living the perfect life for you and always perfectly following the voice of His heavenly Father. Jesus never at any time turned away from the voice of His Father to go His own way. But He followed His Father's voice all the way to the cross. And it is at the cross where your good shepherd did something amazing. He voluntarily laid down His life for you. He did this so that He could take every one of your sins upon Himself, so that He could pay for every one of your sins. He did this so that as your good shepherd, He could restore your relationship with God. He did it so that right now we can proclaim the wonderful news that your sins are forgiven, every single one of them. You stand before God at peace. What a wonderful good shepherd we have, who has certainly given us every good thing we need for our soul. David recognized that his God had provided for the deepest needs of his soul. He recognized this even when things in his life seemed to go terribly wrong. During those times in his life, he cried out, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." These words of God are personal. But these words of God are also personable. That is, they paint a picture for us of our God standing over us as our shepherd with His rod and staff. The rod and staff of a shepherd serve two purposes. One is to fight off the enemy, and the other is to redirect the sheep as they head into dangerous territory. But what happens when God's people wander into dangerous territory? Well, we read, "You, the Lord, prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows." God's people don't hide in the shadows as their enemies systematically seek to find and destroy them. This is an image the world would love us to hold on to, but the reality is quite different. God takes His enemies and He forces them to stand at a distance and watch as He prepares a banquet for His people. He takes His enemies and He forces them to stand at a distance as He continues to pour out His goodness and grace into the lives of His people. As He continues to pour out His goodness and grace into the lives of His people every single day of their lives. So how does this news from your good shepherd change your perspective or your worldview? Does it change the way you approach life when things go terribly wrong? Does it tune your ears into your good shepherd's voice in His word as we gladly run to it and learn from it? Does it fix your eyes on who your good shepherd has made you to be? Your good shepherd has defined you in terms of how He sees you. Does it change the way you walk and are led to the gates of heaven? It's certainly so. David knew the voice of his good shepherd. He trusted in his good shepherd's voice as he stood on the battle lines and heard the enemies of his God mock his God and his people. This young shepherd at the time told Israel's seasoned soldiers that he wasn't about to stand there and let God's enemies mock his God and his people. So he set out to defeat a 9-foot, 9-inch soldier by the name of Goliath. He trusted that just as God had delivered him from the bear and the lion, so his God would deliver him in some way from this enemy. But that didn't stop him from reaching down and picking up a few stones and having a plan to use them. Just as you plan for each day, you know your good shepherd is there to guide you and guard you. He's there to guide you and guard you even when things go wrong. Amen.